the magnificent messenger of Allah. The magnificent messenger of Allah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين.
أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله.
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله.
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله.
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله.
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله.
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله.
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله.
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله.
صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. There are many, many benefits of reciting through the path of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now in our everyday lives, we have lots of gatherings, be that friends, family, mates, different gatherings. But how do we judge those gatherings? Do we think this gathering is going to benefit me in worldly matters or benefit me in the hereafter? And how do we go about our conduct in these mefils? Let me share with you a beautiful hadith of Mubarakah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has provided us with amazing guidance in relation to how to judge our gatherings and how to make them better and how to really differentiate between good and bad. Alhamdulillah, Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in a beautiful hadith of Mubarakah says that the gatherings in which people do not praise Allah azza wa jalla and do not send salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be a means of regret on the Day of Judgment. So whenever you sit down in a gathering, think, is this gathering going to benefit my hereafter? Is this gathering going to lead to good deeds in my book of deeds? Or is this a gathering where we're going to have lying, backbiting, and mimicking, and mockery? If it is, then stay away from those gatherings. And whenever you sit down with family and friends, try and mention the name of the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Send salutations upon our Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this way, not only are you benefiting with the world, but also alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, you will benefit from that gathering on the Day of Judgment. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, you'll remember last week, we finished alhamdulillah talking about the beautiful life of Hazrat Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam. And today we've got a magnificent messenger. Wow, his qualities were amazing. But one particular quality shone through. And it's going to be talked about until the Day of Judgment. Do you know, in our everyday lives, sometimes when we do things, we always think, perhaps, gosh, you know, I had more patience. I had more perseverance. You know, I could cope with things. I could understand things. With hindsight, we always regret things. But today, the magnificent messenger we're going to talk about had patience. But he had patience to a next level. Inshallah, azawajal, we will talk about Hazrat Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam. Salu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam.
The magnificent messenger of Allah.
So, we've discussed many, many amazing prophets of Allah. But like I said, Al-Hasti, the great, great personality that we're going to discuss today, was truly remarkable. Not only did he have all the amazing traits that the messengers of Allah Azza wa Jalla have, but at the same time, he had this one quality which shone through and lit up the world. So I'm going to introduce my two scholars, inshallah, and we're going to go to them to tell us more about this amazing personality. First of all, Shirazi, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you?
Alhamdulillah.
And everything journey fine?
Alhamdulillah.
And also, on my heart side, as they say, we've got our Saqib bhai. Saqib bhai, how are you?
Alhamdulillah.
So, starting with Shirazi, Hazrat Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam, tell us something about him.
MashaAllah, one of the very, it's a very famous biography of Ayyub alayhi salam. Very interesting story, how he was such a prosperous, rich, well-earned person. He had such a nice, blissful lifestyle. I'm so grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to raise his ranks even further. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala slowly began to take a blessing away from him one at a time.
Allah.
Which each time he done shukr and remained patient for the inshallah, we'll go into the depths of it. Each time he was more patient, Allah increased his rank even more.
Allah.
And so that's his brief summary of his lifestyle. Hazrat Ayyub alayhi salam, he came, so he's from the lineage of Ishaq alayhi salam.
So Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, then you have Sayyidina Hazrat Ishaq alayhi salam from Hazrat Sarah radiallahu ta'ala anha, and then from their lineage.
Mashallah. So he has an amazing lineage. And remember, he had numerous wealth, he had loads of land, he had loads of livestock like cattle, camels, you know, countless. You wouldn't be able to count how much he had, and his children. So he was living the dream life of people.
Allah.
You know what people want today? He was living the dream life. That was basically his background, in his character. Right? His character was amazing. His appearance and his beauty was amazing. His speech, his how, you know, patient he was and how grateful he was. Inshallah, we'll come to that later on. So he was very, very, you could say, one of those prophets that were teach us such a deep lesson for us in this nation.
Subhan.
Especially when you know how the world is going so advanced and we're living in that luxury. How we...
I want it now kind of business.
Yeah. How we should, you know, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us, how we should look at that.
Allah.
And you know how we discussed it, I think it was last week, about like mental health, maybe I think we discussed it. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a blessing away from you, how we should deal with that as well. So it's a contrast in his life, which is so special and deep, inshallah we're going to go into.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. And that's just a glimpse. Sakabai, Hazrat Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam.
You know, one thing that really stands out from the story of Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam is that he was a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah.
And every single prophet of Allah Ta'ala is very beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one of the lessons we can take, which we will talk about further as well, is that calamities and problems and difficult times, they don't only come to people due to their sins.
Allah.
They don't only come to bad
Beautiful
people.
Point.
There are many other reasons why Allah Ta'ala might inflict a person in those calamities. And the scholars have stated that a calamity which comes upon a person to elevate his rank in the court of Allah Ta'ala is actually a blessing. So
Allah.
The calamities which came to Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam were actually blessings.
Subhanallah. That's a very important point, because a lot of the time when we see other people in difficulty, the shaitan kind of gives us a rasa that this might be because of his sin.
You know, the scholars say that, you know, having that mindset for yourself is perfect. That if any calamity falls to you, it's because of your own wrongdoings. But when it comes to the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, you cannot think that way.
Yeah, I mean, generally people as well, though, what the scholars say, don't they, that when it's yourself, you should take account of, when you're in difficulty, think it's you because of your sins. As Amir al-Sunnah says. But when it's other people, not the Anbiya Ikram we're talking about, but when it's other people, the shaitan tends to make us think, well, that must be because of the sins he's committed. And we shouldn't be thinking that. We should be thinking that is a test from Allah Azza wa Jalla. And like Sakabai, you said beautifully, when it comes to the Anbiya Ikram, they are, you know, there's no concept of sin or anything like that. So everything that befalls them or they're tested with is to raise their ranks even further.
MashaAllah. Beautiful. So he was from Damascus and the people there were very rich and wealthy as well. So everything was very prosperous. Like I said, he was very rich himself.
Because what Musitab writes is that he was extremely grateful. Despite being extremely rich and having everything, Hazrat Sayyidina Ayyub al Islam was always very grateful for every blessing of Allah he had.
SubhanAllah. I'm going to come into that point. Yeah. What's, you know, gratefulness got to do with being so rich? Inshallah, I'll come to that in a moment. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like we mentioned, that he began to trial him. So first, initially, his cattle began to die. Then his land began to finish. I think water overtook them. His land began to finish. He didn't, you know, couldn't look after them. And then eventually he got to such a point where he was inflicted with the illness. So yani, this illness is not just specific to him. This illness, 70 other prophets had this, and this was to raise and elevate their ranks. And this illness was such that it didn't put anyone off. A prophet is beautiful, and one of the prophet's missions is so people come close to him to perform da'wah. That's his main job, to, you know, to reach out to people and invite them towards Tawheed, the one God. So this illness did not prevent anyone from coming close. Any people were more enticed towards him because of the shukr and the gratefulness that he had.
So being rich, and do we know anything about how his looks were? How did he look?
I don't know.
Mufti Sahib writes actually that he had quite thick hair.
Mashallah.
He had beautiful wide eyes. He, when one looked at him, one was mesmerized by his appearance. He had a short neck and a very open chest. He just looked amazing, and so he had that. And so far as his wealth was concerned, you mentioned the cattle, but he had sons, he had cattle, he had property, and there was quite a lot. He had servants,
yeah.
And he had, you know, all the luxuries that almost a king can
and
have.
And he was a humble servant of Allah.
Subhanallah.
He wasn't a tyrant king.
Ni'mul abd, he's called.
Yeah, yeah.
The best of mashallah.
Kaseer, so he had excessive, but all day, Subhasham, his mission was to continually thank Allah Azza wa Jal.
You know, this is a very beautiful point for those brothers who are granted wealth, that Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salatu wa salam had so much, but it was not that wealth which made him ghafil from the
dhikr. Allah.
Some people think that they can't balance the two. Look, that Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, Sayyidina Ayyub had so much, more than any one of us could ever dream of. Yet he showed that you can have wealth, you can have properties, you can have lands, you can have servants, you can have abundance in children, yet you can remain humble as well.
Subhanallah.
You know, Ayyub alayhi salam, you know, there's two types of people who are Mumbai in the world we're living in. One is that person who is a believer and he's constantly doing the shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know, Allah says, إِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ, that if you are grateful towards me, I will increase. Now this is like a formula, it's a set rule. If you are grateful, it will increase. Whatever that certain ni'mah is, it will increase. So Ayyub alayhi salam, if you look into his life, what he was doing was thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly. And even, you know, when he says, when he made the dua, that when he called out to his Lord that indeed a problem has overtaken me. Well, he doesn't say overtaken. You know, when we fall into a problem, we say, that's it, I'm drowned in this problem. I'm finished now. He said, the problem has touched me.
Allah.
You know, even though he went into such a deep issue, where in today's age, someone would commit suicide. That's how people are. They're very sensitive now. You know, in this day and age, a person would go on and commit suicide. He said, the problem has just touched me.
Allah.
And you know, this dua is so powerful, it's amazing. Where, and I'll come on to that, you know, later on. But he was so grateful, right? And even when Allah took it away, he was still grateful. That means that his grateful was sincere. His gratefulness was sincerity. Obviously, he was a prophet. It is going to be. It's a lesson to us, though.
Yes.
It's a lesson to us.
But there's an important point there, Shiraz Bhai. You know, the problem we have today is this. When we're poor, we have little means. We are praying the mass 5 times a day. You walk into our homes and there's a small house and you've got, you know, pictures of Kaaba Sharif, you've got pictures of Medina Sharif, you've got Ya Allah, Ya Rasulullah, everything there. And as we grow, you know, in wealth and as we get more, gradually our ibadat decreases. You look at the life of Hazrat Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam, and as his wealth increased, his level of gratefulness and his worship in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal increased. So that's what he was teaching us. Whereas we go the other way. I've got a bit of a kind of a bee in my bonnet about people who, when they get new houses, and you've visited them many times, and you walk in, and in the old house there was, you know, picture of Kaaba Sharif. Every morning when you get up, you come down, and in the front room there's a picture of Medina Sharif, you know, beautiful way to wake up. When you get into the new house, there's paintings. I went to one brother's house. It was unfortunate circumstances. He passed away, and I went to his house for the dua and everything else. And as I walked in, I could see, it was a very posh house, and I could see ornaments, I could see, you know, horses, and obviously it's not jais to have those. I could see pictures of cottages on the wall. And wallahi, all the time I was there, I was trying to look around to see whether there was anywhere where, you know, there's a picture of Medina Sharif, or picture of the Holy Kaaba, or, you know, Ayatul Kursi, or something.
Even of himself.
So there was nothing there, there was just these, and I thought, this is what we've become. And the problem today is that the richer we get, what the granny should I say?
We become ghafil.
And we lose our modesty. So when we get richer, we start to dress in funny ways.
Arrogance comes into it.
And our, you know.
You know, when we study the Dars-e Nizami, right from very first day, we're told there's two types of knowledges. There's the beneficial knowledge, and then there's the non-beneficial knowledge, Islamic knowledge. So you would think, how can Islamic knowledge be non-beneficial? So when we study, you look. Basically, when we study a hadith, masalan, it's beneficial if you've gone home and implemented the hadith.
Oh, okay.
And it's non-beneficial if you use that to find a way out of things.
Mm.
So, same with this, wealth has two types. There's the beneficial wealth, and then there's the non-beneficial wealth. Some Muslims are granted wealth, and they, honestly, the amount they help other Muslim people is incredible. And there's one brother, he in UK, not too far from here, in the month of Ramadan, right, he employs another person just for people to come, when they come and, you know, ask for zakat and charity, he employs a separate person with the checkbook, or he puts his sons there with the checkbook, and minimum he's given £5,000.
That
person as well, shukr is on his tongue.
You know, that reminds me, the scholars say that if a person wants to weigh his iman and know if it's a strong iman or a weak iman, he should see that when I read the Quranic ayat, or when I read the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how much do I believe in those?
Allah.
For example, like we said, if you are thankful to Allah Ta'ala, Allah will increase in your blessings. Now, if you're doing every single thing to increase your blessings except the shukr of Allah Ta'ala, would you say he has a strong iman?
Allah.
And on the other hand, if you're not doing anything except just following what the Quran says, and you're thanking Allah Ta'ala constantly, your blessings will increase.
But there's a levels of this, isn't it? So basically, you've got the blessings of Allah Azawajal, and you thank Allah Azawajal, and you carry on with your normal ruwais. And as you get richer, a lot of people, they tend to get lazy in their salah. But Hazrat Sayyidina, the life of Hazrat Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam teaches us that we're going to come to the patience and the illness and everything else at the moment. But even when he was affluent, the life teaches us that when Allah Azza wa Jalla bless you, you increase your obedience in the code of Allah Azza wa Jalla. You increase your gratefulness in the code of Allah Azza wa Jalla. We haven't even started on the second part, because that's where we fail miserably as soon as we have a problem. But at the moment, that element.
Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says that if a person, he's not grateful for the blessings of Allah Ta'ala, he does not do shukr, then those very blessing ni'mas turn azab for him.
And I did a silsila on the fazail of shukr, and one of the things that was mentioned in the booklet was that one way of locking the blessings in
is
Allah Ta'ala has blessed you. One of the ways to secure that is to constantly thank Allah for the blessing. So if you have children and they are pious, thank Allah for the blessing. If you've got money, straight away, you know, if you're affluent, you haven't got a problem, thank Allah. If you have a nice house, every time you look at it, thank Allah. If you have a nice ride, every time you sit in it, thank Allah. And what that will do is all of these things will be protected.
Absolutely. I think I remember reading somewhere that if you remember Allah Ta'ala the way you're supposed to remember Him, in a state of happiness, in a state of generosity, then that will make your calamities easy for you.
Allah.
They will make your calamities hurry away from you.
And you know, a lot of people, this is general human nature, that when we're in difficulty, we put down the prayer mat and we pray in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and we humbly make dua because we're in difficulty. Nobody else can help us. But the real men of Allah Azza wa Jalla are those who, when they're prosperous and when they're happy, that time they get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, lay the masala down and pray tahajjud, saying, Ya Allah, tera shukra. You know, those are the real men of Allah, aren't they?
Subhanallah. You know, the types of wealth that we're just discussing now. So there's one that's beneficial. It increases your worship. The second type of wealth, which actually doesn't make you forget. This is the formula.
Allah.
I'm going to come to the ayat of the Quran and then a share as well. This wealth doesn't make you forget. It's actually because you forgot.
Allah.
It's because you forgot. So basically, there's a very, very deep philosophy. It actually is really deep. Now, Dr. Iqbal, in his ash'ar, is very controversial. So I'm only going to read half the shi'ar. He says, Rahmatein hain teri aghyar ke kashanon par. Right? I'm not going to finish it off. But he goes into something so deep. Is actually in reference to a Quranic ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he talks about the wealthy non-Muslims. So the wealthy people who are not thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are, you know, the word kaf, fa, ra, it actually means na shukri.
Yes,
you know, you're going to forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's going to open up the doors of this.
Destruction is
finished. It is.
We think of money coming in. Or, you see, this is one of the things, the deep meaning that you were referring to, as I understood it, was this, that a lot of people believe if somebody's wealthy, he's successful, and they somehow attach it to the fact that Allah is happy with him.
That's not the case.
And that's not the case.
He's actually forgotten.
He's actually forgotten. Whereas the great Anbiya Ikram and the pious men of Allah are those who, no matter where their wealth is, how much it is, it doesn't bother them. There's that famous rakia, and it was one of the walis of Allah where they were sat with their murid, and somebody comes in and he says that the ship we sent has sunk. And the Hazrat just looks and says, Alhamdulillah, carries on as normal. A few days later, somebody comes in and says, no, that was the wrong cover. Your ship has actually got to the port. All the merchandise has been sold and we've made a huge profit. And again, the great Sheikh just contemplated for a second and carried on. So the murid asked, Hazrat, you had the bad news and you looked, you know, you kind of paused for a moment and carried on. And then you have the good news and you did the same thing. Why is that? And they replied that basically when the bad news came, I wanted to check my heart to see if it was still lost in the zikr of Allah. And it was, it wasn't bothered. The ship sank, so what? It doesn't matter. And when the good news came, again, I wanted to check my heart to see whether this money coming in has made a difference. And the heart was busy in the remembrance of Allah. So that's why I carried on. And
so you know, that point there, right? Now, if you look at it on Ayyub alayhi salam, if you base it on his life, exactly the same thing. Obviously, Ayyub alayhi salam is a prophet. He had loads of wealth. It was taken away slowly and his ranks were elevated. Allah gave him all back as well.
Subhanallah.
So his boat went, he was thankful. It was given back, he was thankful. Yani you know, if you put all these things together, there's actually like a secret formula behind success and wealth. There's one, basically, sabr and shukr. Right?
Well, I'd say the first one is being grateful in the first place for all your blessings. And then even if you get tested, what a lot of people say is, well, I read namaz, why is this musibat on me? But no, this is the test from Allah, because we're here for
it. See, that's the thing. So, you know, when Allah is happy with a person, he'll start testing him. And that is raising his ranks. And then, you know,
الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا.
Even that.
This
ayat is actually telling us, look, you're going to be tested. And this test is to increase your rank. Allah. So you might have been on, like, mathalan, you know, 2,000 pound wage, right? 30 grand a year. Now you've been tested, right? Do sabr in that test, you might get promoted to 40,000. Now this formula is given to us, this is a Quranic formula, Islamic formula, that be patient, Allah is going to increase that. Mm-hmm. Be patient. Don't look at the asbab, look at the musabbibul asbab.
The thing to look here is that there are two sabrs. One is that sabr which happened at the time of calamity. And the second sabr is waiting for that ni'mah to return to you. And Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, because their illness was over a period of 7 years. And like we were talking about before, there's a narration which comes into mind. The summary is that a Muslim and a non-Muslim, they were fishing. And a Muslim raised his hands in the court of Allah and he said, Ya Allah, grant me fish. And Allah said to the angel, don't grant him anything. And then the non-Muslim raised his hands and he said, oh Rabb, he just said, oh God, grant me fish. And Allah said to the angels, fill his net with fish. Mm. And then the angels said, ya Allah, when the Muslim asked, you didn't grant him anything. But when the non-Muslim asked, you granted him everything. Allah said, I don't like hearing the voice of the non-Muslim. So the one time he called me, I gave him everything. But because I love hearing the voice of that individual, I want you to keep asking. That's why I'm granted it.
See, there's so many secrets.
Hidden secrets.
Hidden secrets.
They're like hidden formulas. If you achieve them, you're unlocking secrets of life. You know,
the lives of the prophets are amazing. I mean, every element we could discuss. But the first part, what we learn from the life, because a lot of people, when they talk about Hazrat Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam, they talk about his patience. Yeah. MashaAllah, what we've done is focused in on the early part of his life, which was dominated by blessings combined with gratefulness in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And as the blessings increased, his worship in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla and his status increased. Now, I wanted to come to that middle phase.
There's one more point here. Sure. For the guys who are watching Madani Channel, and because it's, we've heard these stories before in the past, many times, right? Our parents may have read them to us whilst we were younger. We know Ayyub alayhi salam went through an illness. He was a very rich person. One thing, as someone who does research, he should focus on is, look at all the prophets and look at their ways of income, right?
SubhanAllah.
Look at the way they would get their income. Most of them, well, every single one of them was either business or livestock. So each prophet, right, had their own jobs, right, would make their own money. Most of them though, each one of, like from the initial starting point, they would all have land and livestock, which is interesting for the Muslims. For someone, especially in this age, someone would ask, what business should I do? Where should I look into? Every prophet, most of them, they had either livestock, right? Or they would do tajarat, right? One of the two. Any fields, farming, this agriculture basically. Or they would go into buying and selling. So that's another point.
I think one of the greatest lessons to learn from the lives of the prophets in relation to work is that they were all hard working as well. Today, we want an easy route to the top. And we want easy money. And so that was wherein lies the problem. So Hazrat Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam has everything. He's got a luxury lifestyle, but he's grateful in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And then you mentioned that there was a test for him, and the shaitan came. He wanted to kind of get involved.
He kept giving him waswasa, right? Which the tafaseer don't specifically go into the details of what shaitan tried to do. But we have seen Shaitan went to Adam alayhi salam, went to different prophets and tried to, that was his oath, from the very start between the first prophet. That was his oath that he's going to misguide the masses. That except those people who are salih from your bondsmen, they're exempted from his,
attacks.
Yeah, his waswasa. So Shaitan tried, right? Then Hazrat Ayyub alayhi salam supplicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, ya Allah, protect me from this illness, i.e. Shaitan as well, because Shaitan's coming and trying to put his thoughts into my mind. So now, this is, obviously he's a prophet, he's exempted, he's free from Shaitanic waswasa, right? This is for us, this is a lesson for us more, because Ayyub alayhi salam had an amazing lifestyle, right? Very prosperous, very grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And everything was good. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking it away from him. And like we've mentioned, Allah will test every believer.
And one by one, everything that was kind of, we would consider the most important. So first, his livestock you mentioned. So he had lots of livestock and that died.
And look at that as well, that if you stop a person's finance, he gets the mental pressure of his family's livelihood upon his head as well. Yeah. It wasn't just that physical test, there was also that mental pressure that came with all of it as well.
Yeah.
And if you look at it, he wasn't just tested in one aspect. He wasn't just tested domestically, financially, through his health. So everything that we can be tested through, they all came together on Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam.
But the thing was, in Musti Sahib writes, it slowly built up. So first, his cattle was there. And it didn't make one iota worth of difference to him, because he remained patient and remained grateful in the court of Allah. Then next, his sons passed away, And I think that
look at the way they passed away. The roof of their house collapses and takes all their children.
All the children in one go. I mean, you know, losing them one by one still, but losing them all at the same time. And yet he still...
You know, basically, you know, this point here, I just want to stop you. Because I want the viewers to actually understand, and they will know people like this as well, especially in the lockdown, in the coronavirus period, the pandemic, where everyone was successful, for example, or financially stable, and then everything began to one by one break down, and we know how many businesses have gone bankrupt. So focus on the actual story and the moral of Ayub alayhi salam's life, where he was actually very successful. One by one, something happened, a phase came in his life where things were one by one taken away. And this happens to various people around the world. Many countries are becoming bankrupt and, you know, the financially not stable, they're broken. Now, how does that leave us as a person? Ayub alayhi salam, very rich, and then slowly, slowly, his financial status coming down, right? Allah Azawajalla is testing him, increasing his ranks. And it got to such a point where, you know, when you, in our words, we say a person would hit rock bottom. Ayub alayhi salam, everything he had, he didn't have. He lost it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took it all away.
There's one thing which remained with him even in those testing times, and that was his beloved wife.
Subhanallah. Yeah, we'll come to her in a moment.
I was just going to ask that, because initially the riwayat says that he had more than one wife.
Yeah.
But gradually, his finances went down, so all the business suffered. Mm. Then he lost his sons, and then everything went.
Then
finally it was his health. But all the way through this, you know, when we have a problem, this is an important lesson for us, that if we have one problem, one difficulty, and we're trying to cope with it, and we're trying to deal with it, and there's suddenly a second difficulty.
Second opens.
That's it. Even if we have a little bit of pain.
And then the roof of your house crashes.
And you know, and then we say, well, you know, sorry, you know, Nauzubillah, we come out with words like, it's all the calamity is going to fall on me. And doing sabr on the first one, some of them might have a little bit of power to do that, or, you know, a little bit of the inner confidence. But when it comes to the second time, most of us are hands up. And even if there's small problems, when it comes to Hazrat Sayyidina Ayub alayhi salam, he's taught the world that no matter what the situation, I mean, can you imagine a multi-millionaire who his finances disappear on him pretty much overnight, his children die in one incident, and he still stood on the prayer mat praying in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Some of the wives...
See, the thing is, what would happen, you know, mental illness and how Quran deals with mental illness. Ayub alayhi salam, when he loses everything, he's still obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's still worshipping, he's still being grateful, and he's being patient. He's observing patience at the highest level as well. Ayub alayhi salam teaches us that when you hit rock bottom, be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember, what happens is this specific point of Ayub alayhi salam was each time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took a blessing away, Shaitan came to him, right, and tried to attack him as well. You see, today, when we look in society, a person loses one blessing, right? That's it. He's on happy tablets now, right? He's gone into depression mode. He loses the second blessing. Now he's thinking of committing suicide. Third blessing, his parents died, his children died, his house is... Now he's totally bankrupt, he has nothing left, he's in minuses. He goes towards the biggest waswasa of committing suicide. This Ayub alayhi salam, if this lesson was taught to children from a very young age in school storybooks, that when you hit rock bottom, be patient, just observe patience. Don't think of committing suicide. Don't leave, you know, don't let shaitan take over your thoughts.
But it's one of the biggest problems in this society. As you have a problem that you can't deal with, they don't be patient to put their trust in Allah Azza wa Jal. They think, right, I've got no alternative, suicide.
You know, a person can look at it as well, that if Allah Ta'ala has taken one namat away from you, you look at the 10 namats that you've still got with
you. Subhanallah.
Even within Ayub alayhi salatu wasalam, even though every single thing was taken away from him, he still had Allah Ta'ala with him. And that's why he never felt like everything was taken away from him.
And a beautiful way, it's a different way of looking at it.
And he didn't even complain.
And the thing
he
is, because Allah, he kept Allah Ta'ala with him in the state of happiness, Allah Ta'ala kept him in the state of calamity.
Yeah, well, when it comes to that. But you know, there was a Buzurg, rahmatullahi, and they weren't well, something happened, and the certain part of their body, I can't remember whether the leg or any other part, was the zil. And somebody came to them and he said, you know, Braf, so how are you? No, they said, how are you? And he says, Alhamdulillah, my eyes are fine. Alhamdulillah, my ears are fine. Alhamdulillah, my hands are fine. You know, so he went through the azar, the parts of his body that were fine. Instead of complaining about the little cut on the arm or something like that. Alhamdulillah, and this is, you know, the beautiful point that Saqibai makes, that in relation to Hazrat Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam, he was an amazing messenger of Allah azza wa jal. But the mentality that he must have had was that Allah has given me so much. And then the other thing is this. Where did all these blessings come from in the first place?
From the first place, yeah.
You know, from Allah we come, and to Allah we shall return. This is a blessing from Allah. You know, what was that couplet? Ke haq to ye hai ke haq adana hua, you know, because these are from Allah. So just if He decides to take it away, we've got to be patient. Unfortunately, we're not. But Hazrat Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam set that next level for the entire creation, where throughout all of these calamities, throughout all of these difficulties, and the one thing that wasn't affected, his finances were affected, his children, his family life, everything's affected. The one thing that didn't, that only went up and up and up, was his worship, his gratefulness, and his status in the court of Allah.
If you look at the words he uses to pay gratitude, he says, what was mine and what is mine, the one who is Lord of all has taken it. For the duration that He Azza wa Jal bestowed me with it, it was within my possession. And He Azza wa Jal has taken it back when He wished. I am always satisfied in whatever pleases Him.
Allah.
Meaning the one thing He always kept in mind, that nothing was mine. Allah Ta'ala gave me everything and He can take back because it's all His as well. So we need to keep that in mind as well, that all our ni'mas, we haven't done anything to deserve them or earn them. Allah Ta'ala has granted
them. It's all about the mindset. I remember an old story about a king walking along the river, and he saw a pious man of Allah Azza wa Jal. And he said to him, do you have a house? And he said, I've got no house. He says, where do you live? He says, I live here. He says, well, what about the, you know, the weather, the sun, the rain, the snow and everything else? And he said, it doesn't bother me. And by the way, all this works because of my will. It all works on my will. So the king said, this works on the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. He says, no. He says, everything works. The sun rises because I will it. Everything. So the king's kind of losing his mind, saying, hang on a minute, what are you talking? This is, you know, not right talk. This is the command of Allah. He said, look, you have to understand things. He said, since I have built a friendship with Allah, I haven't kept any will in my heart. The will of Allah is my will. So if Allah wants the sun to rise, I want it to rise. If Allah wants it to rain, I want it to rain. If Allah wants it to snow, I want it to snow. If Allah wants a storm, it is my intention as well.
You know, one of the points, obviously the viewers may have gone through such a, you know, when something, a calamity actually does come and hit you, it's easy to talk about it now, right? At the time when it actually hits hard. It's actually painful. When you lose someone or when you lose something, right? It's all about losing something or someone. When it does actually happen, it's very, very painful. And you know, right now, it's easy to talk about it and discuss it and, you know, tell the audience that, okay, this is Ayyub alayhi salam's life and he observed patience. But when it actually hits, you're in another phase now.
That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that sabr is that which is done at the first strike of a
exactly. Plan. So, but the point I'm trying to say is, you know, the qadr, the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you must accept it. But no one said it's going to be easy.
No, but this is a skill that we have to learn in life. We have to have a mindset that I will get difficulties and I need to be patient during those. And we need to learn from the lives of the Anbiya Ikram. So every one of us three sitting, everyone watching, will go through these trials and tribulations. That's why we're here. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Allah Ta'ala created death and life so we could test which of you is better indeed. Now, if that's the situation, and that's what we're doing, we need to train ourselves. So when it's a small calamity, we need to deal with it straight away and be patient. And gradually you will build up the perseverance. Now, the point is this. Hazrat Imam Ghazali, rahmatullahi, is the master of psychology.
Mm.
Yeah. Now, what the scholars write is this, and Hazrat Imam Ghazali kind of points this out, is that, look, you as a person have to go through a process. So when you have a calamity, what do? We shout and scream, try to blame everybody else. And then when eventually, you know, after we've done everything we can and we see that nothing is in our control, we then say, oh, I'll be patient now. And it's like Sakibai said, it's that moment. But we lose the moment, and afterwards we think, well, we've got no alternative. We have to accept the decree of
Allah. We're not to accept in the end anyway.
You know what really stupid is that people be complaining to those people or those that can't even help you in that situation.
Yeah. In fact, even worse, Sakibai, most of the people they're complaining to, they are happy to think, well, Barabbas Nasser, you know, he was thinking he was living the luxury lifestyle. Now he's having it. And so you shouldn't tell. And, you know, the real court to beg in and the real court to turn to is the court of Allah and His Hadith, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And yet, when, you know, there's some unfortunate people as well who we've learned from the life of Hazrat Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam that as the calamities increased, his gratefulness and humbleness and sincerity and worship in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla increased. There are some people who, when you ask them, you know, when they've got problems, namaz, but well, I did do, but now I've got this problem, you know, things have slipped from me. And that's the shaitan working his trick, isn't
it?
So coming back to Hazrat Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam, so very prosperous lifestyle, very grateful in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla, but then he's tested slowly and loses everything he has. In relation to his body, his actual illness as well, he became the type of illness and how it affected him became quite weak. And so far as praying was concerned, that didn't affect, you know, his ibadah, his worship. But he was obviously going through severe illness as well.
SubhanAllah. So yeah. So when you think, one is property loss, and when you get to the point where you're actually in, you're in pain yourself, right? You know the point where you said initially that when you lose something, this is, you know, a time for you to be patient. There's another aspect to it as well. When you lose something, it's also a sign to you that be ready for the next thing as well.
Allah.
So now remember, Ayyub alayhi salam, he's begun to lose things one by one. So he lost the first thing, second thing, third thing, and then eventually when he's lost everything, then an illness overstruck him, right? When you think matters, you know, some people say, you know, it can't get any worse. It actually can. Right? It can, like, you know, just general that matters.
Yeah,
it actually can get worse. So, and then some, the opposite end of that is, you know, someone's had an accident and you say, you know what, God saved you. I don't know how you got out of that car. You know what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm.
So you get the opposite end of the spectrum as well. Ayyub alayhi salam, when he fell into this illness, which there's a difference of narrations, whether it's 7 years, 17 years, there's different narrations. So it was a period of time though.
So it wasn't a short-lived thing. This happened over a prolonged period.
Yeah.
And sometimes, that's a very good point, because sometimes it's easy to be patient for a few days or a few weeks. But the life of Hazrat Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam teaches us that the tests of Allah Azza wa Jal can be quite long.
Yeah.
And yet all the way through those, he stayed steadfast and never once complained in the court of Allah. I mean, he's the prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal.
All he
needed to do was raise his hands and say, Ya Allah, bless me. And everything would have disappeared. But he didn't want. He put his trust in Allah.
Most of the calamities we face, we can see an end result to it. We can see a deadline when it's going to finish. Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, he did not know how long he's going to be extended for.
And there's another subtle point here as well that doesn't apply to the life of Hazrat Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam, because prophets are exempt from this. But when it comes to us, if you are faced with calamity after calamity, you need to review your life as well. Because if you are doing, a lot of the time, the calamities we face are as a result of our deeds. So, for example, if what we do in today's society is when something happens, we look to blame others.
Yeah.
But there are some people, for example, their rizq isn't halal. So calamities are coming from there. There are some people who their household environment isn't halal. You know, they start with their children watching
those. Some people, the character's not right.
Character's not right. Ghibah, backbiting, jealousy, hatred. And then there are some who have, na'uzubillah, you know, thrown their own parents out of their home. Yeah. But then when the calamity strikes, they say, well, I don't know where this is coming from. And, you know, and Amir al-Sulam very beautifully says, but you know, they sit there having missed their salah, not read the Quran, don't know anything, Hajj was farz upon them, never gone, you know, disrespecting their parents. And then they sit there saying, I don't know what I've done wrong.
Imam Ghazali beautifully says that if a person wants to know that whatever difficulty or calamity he's in, whether that's good for him or not, the way to look at it is if after that calamity or during that calamity you were closer to Allah Ta'ala, or it brought you closer to Allah Ta'ala, then that was a ni'mah in disguise.
Subhanallah.
But if that took you away, then that was indeed a calamity for you.
And that's true. You know, Sakhavet, that's so true. That, you know, a lot of the times, if you look back at your life, your, you know, the closeness to Allah Azza wa Jal that you felt, that kind of fear and that kind of, you know, strong bond, was during the times of difficulty, not the times that we were prospering. During the times of difficulty, you felt, you know, when you were praying in the glory of Allah, you turned to Allah, you had that strong kind of iman. You know, your iman became strong as well. There are three things, and we've got 3 minutes left. Allah. Firstly, Zawja, the wife of Hazrat Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam, she stayed with him and she looked after him. You know, what would you say about
this? Subsequently, her name was Rahma as well.
Oh, subhanAllah.
She was with him throughout his times of difficulty. And that goes to show that when you are choosing a companion, don't choose one that will be with you when you're in a time of goodness and prosperity. But when the times of difficulty come, they go away from you.
MashaAllah.
Through thick and thin,
Through thick and thin, MashaAllah.
What's, you know, amazing point is that Ayyub alayhi salam, going through all of this, and like you very wisely said, is the companionship. She didn't complain. She didn't say this X, Y, and Z is happening. She was supporting him.
Okay.
She was supporting him. And she was basically doing things or going out of her way just to support him. Yes, he was a prophet. But remember, these lives are for us to implement. So, you know, this is the best guy. So she went out of the way to support him, to go and do things, which is amazing. And this, in the end, you know, coming back, I think we should end it on the dua as well. Remember, the dua that Ayyub alayhi salam, wa Ayyub, iz nada rabbahu anni masani ad-dur wa anta arhamur rahimin, that, oh my Lord, when he called on to his Lord, that indeed has struck me ad-dur, yani a problem, wa anta arhamur rahimin. He didn't say, Ya Allah, remove this from me. He didn't say that. He said, Ya Allah, this problem has, I've reached, a problem has touched me. Look at the words.
Allahu Akbar.
And you know, we would say, I am drowned in a problem, absolved, everything's finished. He said, a problem has just touched me. You are the most merciful.
And this is way down the line.
Yeah, this is right at the end. He said, a problem has just touched me. Oh my Lord, you are the most merciful. You're the merciful. And he left it at that. He didn't say anything else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we accepted. And then we removed the problem. And we give him and his family ni'mul badal, basically, exactly what he had before the problem.
You know, in the life, as I say, Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam, his Mufti Sahib writes that his wife was out. Allah Azza wa Jalla ordered him to strike the ground. A fountain came out, and with that fountain, he was cured. And when she came back, she couldn't recognize him. She said, there was an old, a poor, ill person here. Where's he gone? And Hazrat Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam said that I am here. Allah Ta'ala has blessed me. And, in the life of the wife of Hazrat Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam, it's a great lesson for our Islamic sisters, because when the man of the house is working and money's flowing in and everything else, say he has a stroke or something, and you've seen it often, then the sisters start to curse him, saying, you just sat at home now, and we've got no means of income and everything else. But in the life of the Zawja, the amazing companion of Hazrat Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam, she didn't once complain. She stayed with him all the way through. I wanted to end on... Now, Ayyub alayhi salam, as you say, everything was returned to him. I think one riwayat says Allah Azza wa Jalla brought his sons back to life as well.
Allah Ta'ala granted his wife youth again as well.
Subhanallah.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know when this whole story of Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam happened, he says to Allah, how was my sabr? And Allah Ta'ala replied, who gave you tawfiq for it?
Allahu Akbar. There was one riwayat that I wanted to finish with in the life of Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam. After he had gained his health and gained everything, one day he was sat with his wife and they were talking about the illness that he'd been through. And she said, okay, which days were better? These days or those days of suffering? And what he said was truly heart-touching and amazing. He said, those days were better. Allah. She said, how can they be? You know, you'd lost everything. You were in deep trouble and you were in deep difficulty. How could they be? And he said, the reason they were miles better than these days was because every day when I was in difficulty at a certain time, Allah Azza wa Jalla directly used to ask me, oh my Ayyub, how are you?
Allah.
And since I've gained my health, I've lost that, and I would sacrifice everything for that. And that is amazing. And this is what sabr does. Allah Ta'ala says, inna Allah ma'as-sabirin. You know, those who are patient, and the patience of Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam was the highest degree. I mean, the only one who could possess patience greater than Hazrat Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam was our beloved Habib Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through a lot of difficulties, lost children, lost a lot of things, and then still did patience. But apart from that, in the rest of the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal, the patience of Hazrat Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam is the highest. And to still say that with everything, I still miss that time, because my Lord used to ask me directly. And now we're going to move to our topic of generosity. Salu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The magnificent messenger of Allah.
So, all of the world is in the grip of a financial crisis, in the sense that things are becoming very expensive, petrol prices are going up. So for the poor person, especially in poor countries, they're struggling to survive. Basic food items they're having to compromise on. And their earnings aren't enough to keep up with the inflation that is there. And so the person on the street is now living a life in fear and almost on the verge of poverty. Dawat Islami, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, has over 48,000 employees throughout the world. Dawat Islami's work is in many, many countries of the world. And so obviously those employees are paid wages. And in line with inflation, every year their wages are increased. But this year, Dawat Islami has done something truly remarkable. What the cabinet, the Shura of Dawat Islami decided was that we're going to increase the salaries of the very low earners by 12%, those of the medium band by 8%, and those and the higher band by 6%. An amazing move. But what was to happen next was unprecedented. Amir Ahlus Sunnah Dawud Barakatuhul Aliyah, the founder of Dawat Islami, had already given their passport in to go on Hajj together with Nigrani Shura this year. A brother was sponsoring them and saying, we'll pay for the entire Hajj. What Amir Ahlus Sunnah then did is said, that this is not my Farz Hajj, I've already done my Farz Hajj, this is a Nafli Hajj, and therefore I'm not going to go on Hajj, but I'm going to take all that money and donate it to this cause so that those poor people can help feed their children and to run their households.
Subhanallah.
An amazing act of generosity. That is our topic for today. Shiraz bhai, generosity. Yeah,
that's absolutely amazing what you just told me. Rumbai, ayat of the Quran, لن تنالوا البر حتى تنفقوا مما تحبون وما تنفقوا من شيء فإن الله به عليم. It's a very, you know, it looks like a brief ayat. It's such an amazing ayat. You know, because I've done the math degree, we do a lot of equations. So when I see an ayat, I kind of wrap you up in an equation. It's basically a formula of success. How do you measure success, right? Allah says you will not reach success, you will not attain ultimate success until you spend from what you mostly love, what's ultimate dearest to you. You spend that, that's when you reach ultimate success. So it's a formula basically. Yani, to measure the success you want, you're going to have to measure how much you love that thing that you sacrifice. For example, in the past exam, what you have to sacrifice? You're going to have to sacrifice time, a bit of energy, you're going to have to make some notes, you're going to have to stay up a bit, stay awake at the night, your spare time, or even your non-spare time, you're going to have to invest it into looking, you know, revising and then eventually succeeding in that exam. If you're looking for a bigger success, you need to buy a house, you're going to have to save up a lot of money. If you're looking for even, you know, bigger, you need to open a business. So each success is measured by how much you, you know, sacrifice in that. What you've just mentioned is Amir-e Sunnat, the generosity, As-Sakhi, there's a Hadith Sharif, amazing Hadith Sharif. As-Sakhiyu, Qareebun Min Allah,
Qareebun
Min Al-Nas, Qareebun Min Al-Jannah, Ba'idun Min Al-Nas.
Allah.
That As-Sakhi, a generous person. He is close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, close to the people, the public. He is close to Jannah, he is well away from the fire. The opposite of that is Al-Bakhil, Ba'idum Min Allah, Ba'idum Min Al-Nas, Ba'idum Min Al-Jannah, Qareebum Min Al-Nar. The opposite end of the spectrum, a stingy person, he is distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, he is distant from the people. He has a distance from Jannah, but he's very close to the fire of hell. So you got two ends of the generosity and what you've just mentioned where he's donated. And he's a Shari'i Fakir, isn't he? Amir al-Sunnat. He's donated his wealth. And who doesn't want to go to Medina? Sacrificing that, you know, doing Hajj and Umrah. Sacrificing that for poor people. That is true ultimate success. The generosity, you know, the attribute of generosity. You know, that would be written down in history that this person didn't even have much wealth and he just invested it into his. And that's why Dawud Islami is so, just this aspect, that's why Dawud Islami is so successful, because right from the very start, the brothers who sacrificed, when it came to putting the organization together, there's people who sacrificed their life, sacrificed their wealth, brothers who sacrificed their time, like they're going on kafla. These sacrifices have joined together to become the ultimate success. That's why Dawud Islami is one of the most successful.
And Amir al-Sunnat is led by example.
Amir al-Sunnat, you know, him being there as the spiritual guide.
That's the reason he's given the title Amir of the Ahl al-Sunnah. Amir, the leader, a leader leads by example. And if you look into any pious predecessor's life, you'll come to see that their connection with the people.
Hmm.
They're always inclined towards generosity. And one of the reasons Islam encourages generosity so much is because if that mercy, that blessing is taken out of an individual's heart, he's more inclined towards being stingy. And stinginess is something in Islam which is not likened. The hadith of the Prophet that generosity is a tree in Jannah. So the one who is generous has held on to the branch of Jannah, which will not leave him until he enters paradise. And stinginess is a tree in the fire of hell, which has got onto him until he stops being stingy.
I saw a message not so long ago, and it showed a leader. And the leader was sat on a cart, and he had a whip in his hand, and there were people pulling the cart, and it was moving slowly, and he was saying, come on, come on, come on, we've got to get to the other side. And then there was another picture next to it, where it showed the leader at the front pulling the rope with whatever they were trying to take, with everybody behind him, and that cart was miles ahead, and that what they said is, you know, you lead by example. And in Dawat Islami, I mean, you know, Amir al-Sunnah.
You know, but the real, the ultimate example is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, isn't it?
Shak. And that's who Amir al-Sunnah, Dawat Barakatum al-Aliyah, tries to copy.
No, what's the share? Mere Kareem se.
Katra kisi ne manga.
Yeah, Katra kisi ne manga.
Darya bahadi ye and durbe bahadi.
Subhanallah. Someone just asked for a drop. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him an ocean.
Allah.
Nahi sunta hi nahi mangane wala tera.
That's
not something which is heard in the court of the Prophet.
Allah.
There's no that story that the king was, he was a very generous king, and somebody came on his first door and asked for something, and the king granted him something. Then he came to his second or third or fourth or fifth door, and he said, look at my king, he's so generous that even if somebody comes to his sixth doors, he will grant him something. How generous is your prophet? And he said, our prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is so generous that when somebody comes to his first gate, he doesn't need to go to the second gate.
Allah. And you know, this trait of generosity, obviously in the life of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, as Sakabai said, Wah kya judo karam hai shahibat ha tera. You know, all the life Mubarak Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam continued to go and still continues. I mean, Sarkar ka sadka kaate, we still, the blessings we have, this is the karam, because Madinah Park, you have to remember, is the distribution center for the ni'mats of the world. So, you know, this is still, the process is still ongoing and will carry on till the day of judgment and beyond. I was listening to one scholar and he said, you know, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam's rahmat mubarak will go all the way till people enter Jannah. And the other scholar stopped him, a senior scholar, and he said, why have you said all the way up to Jannah? What's going to happen in Jannah if there's no rahmat, you know, rahmatul lil alameen there? So this mercy
that Allah, you know, the sheer subho taiba me hui
bat sahibara noor.
Do you know the depths of that? What Al-Hazrat says is amazing. He says, every morning, the time of subah time, yeah, before Fajr, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina Sharif, he distributes his blessings.
Allah.
And he says that the sun rises every single morning and rises over Medina Sharif to get Allah his sadaqah from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And his sadaqah is the noor itself.
Allah.
The noor of the Prophet which enlightens the entire world thereafter.
Subhanallah. The generosity of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But we've only got a few minutes left. And tell me.
Try it. You know, it is what what's happened. You know, if you look throughout the Quran, right from the start till the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. That's at the start. Then right at the end, إِنَّا أَتَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرَ فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ. وَانْحَرْ, sacrifice, generosity. From the start till the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about generosity. Islam has told us to be generous, right? And the Quran throughout, it talks about the generous. The problem is, right, is we've not actually kind of experimented it. Harumba, if you was to see a poor person, for example, in Pakistan, in the village, you've seen them workers, very, you know, tired, sweaty, you know, they've been working on the fields all day to make 100 rupees, 200 rupees, and we, being from, you know, a stable, financially stable background, when we see them, or if you was to see them, and, you know, all day he's working on the fields, he probably makes 200, 300, 400 rupees. Imagine, and now, I think, 5,000 rupees is 20 pounds a year. Imagine giving him 20 pounds, 5,000 rupees, which will...
month's wage.
That for him will melt his heart. Oh, okay. The bigger thing is, you know, because for him, he would think, you know what? His trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his children, he'll be so happy. That night he's going to sleep in pleasure. You know, the bigger thing is, the peace you get, the satisfaction you get that you made some person who was vulnerable, who was weak, who was soft, you've made his life so easier for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That sleep, that night, that you know, when you sleep in that tranquility and peace, that blissfulness is absolutely amazing. You know, in the world, people are looking for different antidepressants. You know, when you are generous, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put a certain gland inside our minds, like the, you know, pituitary gland, it enables growth, right, puberty. There's another gland that when you're generous, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in your brain, it secretes a hormone. And what that does is actually an antidepressant. It makes you feel happy. Definitely. People are going around the world looking for antidepressants and looking in the wrong things, haram, to find antidepressants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put that antidepressant in our brains, right? The thing, and that is triggered by generosity.
Subhanallah.
Triggered by generosity.
We've run out of time. Sakabai, 15 seconds, generosity.
I think if you look at the life of Sayyid Wasi Azam Rahmatullah Alayhi, he said, if there was one action I could do throughout my whole life, it was to feed people. Uh-huh. So the more we help others, the more Allah Ta'ala will help us.
SubhanAllah, we've got to leave it there, mashallah. We've got Madni Recharge, 1 minute. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam. The magnificent messenger of Allah.
When it came to Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was the pinnacle of generosity that anybody could imagine. Now, somebody came to the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and gave Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a beautiful mantle, which Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wrapped around like a diamond that you do. One of the companions said, Ya Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I like that, why don't you give it to me?
SubhanAllah.
Now, the other companions became a bit upset. They thought, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is always giving, nothing stays here. For one sakka, Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has put this on their body mubarak, and you know, this companion has asked for it. So they were looking at him as if in anger and upset. A short time goes by, and best of creation, the most generous that the universe has ever seen, the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam disappear into their hujra mubarak. They then come back with this mantle folded up, and they hand it to him. He takes it. After Akka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam departs, the other companion said, how dare you? Why did you do this? You know, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was wearing this. It looked so beautiful on Sarkar sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why did you do this? And he started to cry. He said, there was no other reason but that I wanted to use this as my shroud when I die.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Allah.
And that companion was buried with that beautiful mantle of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Islam, generosity is a beautiful river, and the more it flows, the more beautiful your life becomes. Try and give in the way of Allah. There are friends, family, brothers and sisters who may not be as well off as you. There are relatives, there are other people who need your help. Around the world, there's a lot of suffering. A little bit of generosity from you could change somebody's life.
Subhanallah.
Allah give us that opportunity. Ameen bijahin nabil ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The magnificent messenger of Allah.